Welcome to The Healthy Leadership Mentor, a podcast hosted by Andrew Gray. Andrew has over 25 years' experience as a business owner, not-for-profit leader, keynote speaker, mentor, and consultant. On the show, Andrew talks everything related to leadership, high-performance psychology, and inner-life health for leaders in the world of business, sport, not-for-profit, politics, and media. With a tertiary background in sports psychology and a multi-decade career developing healthy, high-performance leaders, Andrew is ready to empower your path towards a healthy and fruitful life. Let's go to today's episode.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. I'm your host, Andrew Gray, the Healthy Leadership Mentor. We are in the last episode of a season we've been doing on the subject of If I Were, I Would. I've been taking a look at five positions of influence that if I held them, the things I would try to do. We've taken a look at the role of the Prime Minister of Australia. We've looked at a famous athlete. We've looked at a celebrity artist. And most recently, we looked at the role of the Minister for Education. Well, today we're taking a look at if I were the CEO of a large public company, I would. And as I've said a few times by now, we're not assuming that these roles are easy to do. And we're certainly accepting of the fact that we haven't walked a mile in these shoes, so we don't really know exactly what it's like. However, not having had the role doesn't preclude us from having an opinion about the role, especially when it's such a public position of influence. And as should always be the case, as the public, we expect good accountability, good responsibility from people who hold these positions and hold these roles because they affect so many of the things that we participate in society. So we're going to dive into this. I've got seven items today on this subject matter. If I were the CEO of a large public company, what would I do? Let's get right into it. Number one, if I were in that role, I would regulate salaries and bonuses to comply with performance benchmarks. One of the things that really upsets the public, and it should upset the public, is when we see CEOs and senior officials and senior managers at an executive level in these large public companies getting paid what seems like exorbitant bonuses, especially if the organization or the company has underperformed. This is even harder for people to swallow when we're living in a cost of living crisis. People are struggling to pay their bills, pay their rent, their mortgage, their groceries, all of those things. It's very, very hard for the rest of us to watch on as these people utilize these public positions for their own personal gain. And not just personal gain, but personal gain that seems well and truly over the top. If I were the CEO of a large public company, I would make sure that all performance benchmarks, potential incentives, potential bonuses were disclosed and made very, very public and transparent well in advance of annual shareholder meetings, public meetings, where people would know if a certain leader, a certain person gets a certain result, well, then they are in line for a certain bonus. That will be okay. But when we see these numbers that seem to be plucked out of the air and given to people, especially in non-performing organizations, it's well and truly too much to stomach. Most of us can think in recent times of officials and executive officers like the CEO of Qantas, Alan Joyce, who recently retired. We've seen that airline perform in such a way that is not the spirit of Australia. We've seen it underperforming for many, many years. And yet here is this executive that has done all kinds of things, including utilize the organization for his own personal social agendas and ideas. But then in an underperforming organization, the man has taken home remuneration and bonuses in excess of $30 million. Difficult for us to stomach. And so we need to see salaries and bonuses that comply with disclosed and transparent performance benchmarks, especially pitted against whether the organization is successful or not. We can't have bonuses continually handed out, salaries and remuneration for underperforming companies and organizations with underperforming leaders. Number two, if I were the CEO of a large public company, I would stop using the company for personal, political, or ideological statements. Being in that role does not give you the license to just take your own personal beliefs and brandish them across the whole of the company that you're only a custodian of. And here's the thing that we see absent from so many leaders in today's world. They believe that because they reach a position, that that position equates to ownership. When in actual fact, it's one of the bare bones fundamental understandings of good leadership that when you get into a role, unless it's a private company where you actually own the organization, if it's a not-for-profit or a public company or a government body or organization, leaders in these roles have got to be reminded with more public pressure that they are custodians. They are baton holders in a relay race. They do not own or have a monopoly over what happens with the organization. They're an employee. And so we've got to get rid of this idea that just because you've reached a certain role, CEO or chairman of the board, that you can then use the organization for your own personal, political, and ideological statements. We've got to get away from that. If I were the CEO, I would apply this basic understanding that I am a custodian in the role. I don't own the place. I don't own the organization. If I want to do that, I should go out and start my own business and then have a private company that I can do whatever I want with. But if I don't own it, I'm a custodian. It's not my right to use the organization for my own statements politically and ideologically. Number three, if I were the CEO of a large public company, I would stop applying human groupthink to a lifeless entity. We so often see it in today's world where we see these mission statements and these value charters come out where CEOs and members of boards want to come out and say that the company has a certain belief about a certain political issue. We are not that blind in the public. We understand and we recognize that an entity, a legal structure of a company, doesn't have values. It doesn't have opinions. The only thing that can hold opinions and values are the people and the personnel. And so when we see these leaders trying to apply human groupthink, making a statement on behalf of sometimes thousands or tens of thousands of employees in their company and saying, we at such and such a company believe all of these things. Well, what if some of your employees don't believe that? It's a nonsense to keep trying to apply human groupthink to a lifeless entity that is literally just a legal structure for holding financial controls and taxation issues and employment issues and offering a product or service. And yet we see CEOs trying to do it all the time. It's become the norm. We've got to push back against it and make it the abnormal again, because it's taking a position that is not reality. It's taking advantage of a position to try and push forward a personal agenda and taking hijack or taking hostage of the company in order to achieve those ends. Companies and organizations are structures that do not have opinions or feelings. And so trying to apply this comprehensive human groupthink across the whole of a structure is something that we need to push back on and leave space for individual viewpoints, let individuals share. There's nothing wrong with companies stating that they've got values, but make the values about how you're going to serve your customer better. Make the values about how you're a great place to work because you look after your employees in a really good way. We've got to get companies backing off from this idea that they can have groupthink applied just because they're a big organization and therefore they've got power over political and social issues. Number four, if I were the CEO of a large public company, I would cease all virtue signaling marketing campaigns. I would immediately speak to the marketing department and tell them to focus on the product, the service, the customer, why we believe we're in a good position to do a good job for the person that we really should be focusing on, the customer. Again, this applies in a similar way to the previous points, but we have so many big corporates these days and big organizations who are utilizing their marketing budget simply to do virtue signaling. We, the public, are not that dumb. It's insulting to try and pitch to us some of these feel-good messages and try and trick us into believing that you are more altruistic than you actually are. We understand and we accept that businesses are in business to make money, to be profitable. No problem with it. Therefore, focus on the product, focus on the service, focus on the customer. Tell us why you're good at what you do, and then we might consider doing business with you. We've got to get rid of this nonsense virtue signaling that comes out of these marketing campaigns. Some of the ones I can think of in recent times, I remember watching commercials from the National Australia Bank that spent 30 to 40 seconds showing all these emotional scenes that were supposed to inspire us and stir us on the inside about who they were as an organization. And then the insulting, mind-numbing catchphrase at the end of this 30 seconds of stuff that had nothing to do with banking products, their catchphrase at the end was, "At NAB, we give more." Well, what a lot of nonsense. We don't want you to give more. We need you to keep some so that you can stay in business and focus on doing a good job. Number one, it's lying. We don't believe it. It's virtue signaling, trying to appear more altruistic than you actually are. I would love to see more companies, small, medium, and large. And if I were in the CEO role, I would require our marketing to be about focusing on the product, the service, and the customer, and why we think we can do a better job for them, instead of all of this virtue signaling nonsense that tries to make the company appear more of a contributor to society than it actually is, thinking that that will pull on our heartstrings because we're so dumb that we can't see through it. It's insulting, and we need smarter CEOs and smarter heads of marketing that respect our ability to analyze what they're putting in front of our face. If I were the CEO of a large public company, number five, I would be honest about company objectives and focus on delivering a great product or service. Tell us the truth, like the last point. Tell us what it is you're in business for. What is it you're trying to do? What is it you'd like us to consider buying or accessing? Just be honest about it and then focus on being really, really good at it. And if you are, you'll probably get our business. Away with the trickery. The public is not dumb. The public is not stupid. The public is a lot smarter than a lot of these CEOs and board members actually believe they are. They've spent too long in their own echo chamber, believing their own virtue signaling narratives and their own speaking and terms and trickery and narratives around how they think they can lure us into engaging with their business. Just do a good job. Just be upfront and honest about it and tell us how you're going to do a better job on what you deliver to us, the customer. In today's world, people would flock to that business. You wouldn't be able to keep up with the demand in your business if you just focused on being honest about who you are, why you're in business, what your products and services are, and why you think we should consider accessing them as opposed to your competitors. That would be like a half a miracle if we started seeing that. Number six, if I were the CEO of a large public company, I would get more involved in positive community change. Some of these organizations have incredible resource available to them. And instead of spending budget on personal pet projects and social and ideological issues and political lobbying and all the rest of it, these people actually have an opportunity to get involved in real community change with infrastructure, programs, empowerment, and things that actually help out at the grassroots level with education, with health, with training, with all of these things that can make a difference in society. If these CEOs and these board members are actually serious about their virtue signaling, the pathway is not more emotional, inspirational commercials. The pathway is start putting more budget, as some of them do, I have to say, but not enough of them. Put more budget into the local community change projects that actually can make a difference and give back to society. Number seven, if I were the CEO of a large public company, I would stop giving pretend jobs to failed politicians. Now, hopefully this one rings true with a lot of listeners and a lot of viewers. I think it will. We, the public, are tired of watching either failed politicians or corrupt politicians or politicians who need to run away from their mistakes and hide from the public view, and then they suddenly land this incredibly high-paying job at one of the big corporates because the big corporates want to buy their address book and their phone list. The public doesn't stomach this well at all. In fact, we are sick of it. In recent times, I can think of one of our premiers, Gladys Berejiklian, who was under the subject of inquiry with ICAC, as she should have been, because of spendings related to her boyfriend at the time that didn't appear to have propriety about them. They seemed, from the outside, to require exploration and investigation. Having spent the best part of 18 months telling us all to stay in our homes because if we stepped outside, COVID would kill us and our parents and our grandparents, as she went about town getting her takeaway coffees and having her personal hairdresser arrive at her apartment every week, as she told us to do that with her bony finger in her daily press conference, she then runs away from her post as premier and lands a multi-million dollar employment contract in a field of expertise that she apparently has no experience in or training in. The public is sick of it. If I were the CEO of a large public company, I would require my organization to not hand out these pretend jobs to failed bureaucrats and politicians just because they're ready to get their payday after their career in what is meant to be public service. It doesn't sit well, it stinks in the public nose, and we need to put some pressure on these organizations that we don't want to tolerate it anymore. If I were a CEO of a large public company, I would steer clear of all of those kinds of appointments because of the impact it has in a negative way on the brand of the business when that activity takes place. You might agree, you might disagree. I'm happy for you to get engaged and share your viewpoint, whether you agree or you disagree. Perhaps you want to share this with a friend. Perhaps you want to get them involved in the conversation. That's all we've got time for in this season. As I've said in the other episodes, I'd love it if you could subscribe, like and share, and perhaps subscribe to the newsletter, which is in the show notes below, or check out my core business. I'm going to take a break from the podcast now as we get close to Christmas, and the podcast will return on the 24th of January. I hope you have a great Christmas with your family and a great new year as we get ready for 2024. That's all we got time for in this season and all we got time for in 2023. For this podcast, I'm Andrew Gray, the Healthy Leadership Mentor. Until next time, bye for now.
You have been listening to the Healthy Leadership Mentor with Andrew Gray. This episode was proudly sponsored by APG Elite, home of world-class mentoring, management, and consulting. Find out how APG Elite can help transform your organization by visiting apgelite.com.au. Or if you would like to subscribe to Andrew's weekly newsletter, you can do that by visiting andrew-gray.ck.page. For all other links, including Instagram and TikTok, see the show notes. Until next episode, thanks for tuning in.